Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Welcome you to Porch Talk. And this, as you may have heard,
is an Untapped in Vinyl.
That's right. And you know him, you love him, you heard him. I got Monk here with me.
Yes. How you doing? How you doing, man? How you been?
It's good to be
because it's
back
been,
in your casa.
Man, it's been a while. Yeah, I just kind of wait around for you to call me because, I mean, I sit around doing a lot of nothing most days, you know.
I'm just going to have to get on the horn and we'll just do this more regularly.
Yeah, you got to bug me, man, because I got nothing but time, dude. That's it.
Can do. Man, it's good to be back with you in regular program. This is the first one in, what, four that it's just you and me. We had Ham, Taylor, and Raw.
Yeah.
And I thought that was interesting, good little twist.
Yeah. I was starting to feel, I was like, does Alan not love me anymore?
Oh, no.
Did we not have chemistry anymore? Because we're always doing something with somebody else. But I understand. I know those people very well, and it was a lot of fun to do all of them. So,
yeah. I had Ra on, and, you know, Ra told me, he was like, it's cool that it's you and me, but he said, I thought it was you and Monk all the time. He's like, I wanted to be on the show with you and Monk. I was like, well, we can make it happen.
Yeah. Well, I'm available again. I didn't mean nothing bad by going, do you love me, dude?
No. I know, man. But sometimes it is good just to old times.
Break it up a little bit. Yeah.
But
we're old schooling it
today. We do have a couple things coming up, like Taylor Hollingsworth.
Yep.
Our resident third chair is, he's got a new record. It's going to be coming out soon. And I want to send this to you, Wes. Shout out Cornelius Chapel.
Yes,
just
McDonald's.
Sent me the new Will Stewart.
Oh, heck yes.
Live in Norway.
Oh, yes. I keep seeing it on his socials, on Will's socials, but I haven't heard it yet.
Yeah, it's great. So I'll probably send that to you tonight before I leave. So
yeah,
you can,
you got
check
the digital. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just WAV files, like straight from the desk.
Yeah, I need to reach out to him and let him know that where he was sending stuff, I'm no longer there.
That may be the ticket because, I think a couple things of mine.
Or he could just email me directly, you know.
Yeah, and that may be the move because I know, I started getting things from Cornelius Chapel in the mail again, and I was like, I did just update my address.
So, yes.
I wonder if what's out in the ether.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I wonder how many records my old place of employment has gotten, how many CDs, you know.
Yeah, no kidding, dude.
Put my name on it.
It's like the Early James song. He says, the mail that reaches my prior address, who gets to read it is anyone's guess, but I find it amusing.
Exactly. I love that song. It's a great one.
Well, yeah, dude, celebrating the retirement.
I am, yes. And just so anybody knows, I'm not super duper old, but I have been rendered disabled after my stroke, temporarily disabled. So I am officially retired from radio at 49 years old. So Monk on the Radio is no longer on the radio. I don't see that I'm going to be getting up early anytime. For one, I don't want to be that old guy. You know what I mean? I don't want people to see me and go, wow, that guy's old. You know what I mean? So I don't want to get to that point where I become irrelevant and people don't dig it. You know, when I'm talking about the new song from do a Lupa or Lipa.
Right.
I mean, your new song from Post Malone when I'm 49 years old, you know?
Yeah, just
and granted, that. I can like that kind of music. It's okay. But I mean, I want the kids that are listening to that to hear a kid talking about it. You know what I mean? It
just makes sense.
That's the way I've always felt. I just didn't want to become that old radio dude. So I decided to go ahead and retire. I have not worked radio in over a year now.
How many years do you have in the game?
34.
Right on.
34.
I mean, that's retirement.
Yeah, 34 straight years of radio and nothing but, I mean, a lot of struggling, a lot of ramen noodle meals, you know, but a lot of freaking fun times.
It's always like, in my opinion, and you know, correct me here if I'm wrong, but it's one of those jobs to where maybe job is not even the right word.
Yeah.
Because I always, like, growing up, man, like, riding in the car with my parents or when I was old enough to drive, I had my favorite radio guys.
Mm-hmm.
And I would always tune in for their shows and see what they're talking about and what's going on in music or what's going on in the area. And it always felt like I had a friend on the air, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I had that connection. And so, like, I always had a lot of respect for radio jockeys, man, and for what they do. But I wouldn't really consider it work as much of a labor of love.
Yeah, yeah. I always just considered it, you know, whenever I started radio at 16, 17 years old, I mean, I didn't find a job. I found a career.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't just like I was flipping burgers or something, you know.
Right.
I have found a career, so I just stuck with it. Through a lot of hard times, but man, it was, I think about some of the grand moments. Like I can tell you the people that I met, you know, I know exactly what each of them are like, you know, most humble band I ever met, Tonic, the,
if you could only
yes.
See.
Oh my gosh. Those dudes were so freaking cool. One of the most down to earth, big, gigantic superstars that I ever met was Brad Paisley and Kenny Chesney too. Very down to earth.
Dude, like, I watched with Kenny Chesney, I think it was like he was getting ready to play Red Rocks.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know if it was just like a friend of his or maybe a fan, but he was just kind of sharing his story of like what it means to be playing in the amphitheater that grand.
Yeah.
And he's walking around that venue. He's checking out, sitting down in different seats, and he's barefooted. And he's just hanging out. I was like, man, look, how cool is that? You know, it's like he's still like he's been doing selling out arenas for how long? 20, 25 years.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's still like, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. And I thought it was really cool because, I mean, I ran a small radio station in Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
I was working afternoons. We were on a ratings smashing station, you know.
Yeah.
But he thanked me for playing his music 3 or 4 times while we were hanging out. I thought that was just super cool. It's like, you don't need me. If you put out a record, and I think we've spoke about this before, if he put out a record, you know, with some chopsticks beating on a drum, somebody's going to buy it because it's Kenny Chesney. You know, you don't need, I don't, you know, you don't need my approval.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you're going to get played. But really super duper. I mean, there was like, I know the worst person I ever met. I know the best interviews I ever did, which we've talked about that before. It was
wrestlers, right?
It was two wrestlers, Triple H and Diamond Dallas Page.
How about that?
Were the best interviews I ever did. They were so
good. Are those
good.
Archived somewhere to where you can go back?
Oh, no. That was back when I was in Columbus at 99.9 The Fox.
Okay.
We were having I actually had to get in the ring in front of about 8,000 people or so, what used to be the Bancorp South Center in Tupelo, and announced the opening thing.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so it was very super cool. But I mean, I didn't see a face in the crowd. It was my first live appearance in front of people, 8,000 folks in the middle of a wrestling ring, you know. And I've said in the past to stand on the side of everything, you know, on the stage in front of everybody is different than standing in the middle of everybody.
Oh, I bet.
It's like you're surrounded by people. Well, man, so weird.
Like, even when it comes to, and I like an intimate room, like, you know, you take the Sunstroke House to where you have, like, you can connect with every person in the audience. And, I mean, the same goes with the audience members, like that intimacy of it. But also, like, playing a bar gig
yeah.
or... Man, I've back when I was at the University of Mobile, I was in the music program for a time, and we would put on these huge events, and it would be for thousands of people. And I remember my mother, she came down to one of them, and I had a decent road where I had a little solo part. I had my little time in the sun.
Yeah.
And, you know, she was talking to me after it was over, and she's like, my goodness, you know, like, I'm proud of you, but, like, I never thought that you would be able to perform in front of this many people. And you did great. You did what you were supposed to do. Like, how was it? And I was like, if I could play to that big of a crowd all the time, that would be great, because it's like you said, it's a sea of people. Like, it's just a huge ocean, and yeah. I'm not really trying to look people in the eye. I'm just yeah, kind of in the moment.
Half the time, the lights are blinding you, so yeah. You can only see 3-4 people deep.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. And shout out to those light guys, because, I mean, that is great. Because, like, even, like, at some bars and some of the places that I played in the past, if the lights are on just right, you don't see what's going on out there.
Yeah.
And, like, it's funny, like, some of my favorite videos to see of these, like, big festivals or big shows, like, Dave Grohl is notorious for doing it. Is if he sees something happening in the audience that, you know, he doesn't like if there's a dude and he's, like, trying to push a girl out of the way, like, he'll get that guy kicked out of the show.
Yeah, sure.
But also, I mean, I do like the fact of, like, if I can't, it's almost like I'm in my bedroom again, you know?
Yeah.
And that's nice.
Yeah. Yeah, I, you know, the big shows, I actually, when I was announcing shows and in front of the crowds, I preferred a bigger audience. I can remember one time at the Jupiter Bar and Grill in Tuscaloosa. We had a band called New August. And I knew them well. I played their music and everything.
I remember those guys.
It was about 6, 7, 8 people in the whole place. And this was an indies-only show. Like, first time indies-only was happening. And, I mean, there was, like, some people. Nobody was up front except for people that I was there with, you know, some friends of mine. And then there were some people in the very back of the room playing pool. And I got up there, and I'd played these guys 15 times on the radio. And I said, and now introducing, I forgot their name. And I turned around and looked at the keyboard player had the banner of the band's name on front of it. And I said, the, and then looked at the banner, and the band's name was just New August, not The New August. And I said, The New August. And they started playing. And, I mean, people came in, you know, about 20, 25 people or whatever. But I was so embarrassed. But I got more nervous when there was less people. You know, because you can get up there, and I guess it's the same as for a musician. You can get up there and kind of feed on the hype,
yeah.
on the energy of the crowd. And I guess that's what the artist always feels like. But when you're the announcer, see, I knew when I came out there, everybody cheered for me. Because they knew as soon as I said what I was going to say and shut the hell up,
here comes the show,
you know, whether it be Luke Bryan or whoever, you know, they knew it. So they were always very receptive. And in Tuscaloosa, if you can get them with a Roll Tide and get them going across the crowd, always hypes them up, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So
you're speaking the language.
Yeah. So I never preferred small crowds. I always preferred the bigger crowds. Some days I was more nervous than others. I realized quickly that just a beer, I'm not talking about getting smashed drunk before you get up there, but just a beer is enough to calm my nerves and let me go at it, you know?
Man, if I'm at a place to where it sells liquor, like, I like a shot.
Mm-hmm.
One shot. And, or, like you said, a beer. Just because, man, it's going to limber you up.
Yeah.
It's going to take the edge off.
Yeah. Like, don't sit up there and drink 4 beers before you go do your thing.
That's not good.
So you're going to fumble over your words. And
that was one thing, like, with Porch Fest this year, is I emceed the whole thing, and, like, that was dope. I got to introduce some of my favorite people. I need to, got to introduce some of my favorite singer-songwriters, bands, comedians.
Yeah.
And that was one thing that a couple of people pulled me off to the side, and they told me, it was like, last year before that, you're beginning to have a track record of having a little too much to drink and trying to MC. So we are going to watch you and make sure that, you know, have a beer, have a good time, but don't pound them.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you say that, because the Saturday I was at an event with my wife up just up the hill at the Tennessee Williams house for MSMS.
Yeah,
so I was there helping her with that, and Josh Fire Camino and Taylor Hollingsworth came up to hang out with me for a minute. And that was one thing I was like, he hadn't had too much to drink yet, has he?
No, he's good. He's good.
And Josh was like, no, he seems good. Yeah. So.
Yeah, but. And I'm glad I didn't get offended by that. And I was like, you're just trying to look after me. You know?
Yeah.
Because this was. It was the first I wrote grants. And
I mean, it happens. You get to having fun.
Yeah.
I mean, it's happened to me plenty of times, you know.
And that was one thing, like, Philip and my hands and everybody that was helping me, dude, they were like, you got to be a little more professional this year, guy.
Yeah. I mean,
people have thrown a lot of money at this, and there's an expectation. And I was like, I'm not even mad.
Sure.
I get it.
Sure.
I'll start drinking after.
Or I'll start drinking toward the end.
and that's what I did.
Yeah.
Man, early James. So
How'd that come to be? Because I heard somebody Jamie texted mm-hmm. me, Jamie Nettles, and she said, early James wasn't scheduled to be here, but he is.
So it's I like the new saying that we've got for Porch Fest. It's you never know who might show up.
Yeah.
So I called James 2 weeks before. I was like, I got Friday and Saturday. Either one of those dates work for you? What you got? I said, I'm not going to put you on the lineup. I'm not going to tell a soul. But just show up and, you know, whoever is playing, when you show up, you're going to go on after them. And, like, if just 30 minutes. Just give me 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And he was like, I'll do you one better. I'll play a set and I'll bring Cammy. You remember Cammy?
Yeah, yeah.
And she's been playing, and I'll get up there, and she'll sing, and I'll play lead guitar for her. Okay. And we did just that. Cool. And I got up there, and he said the funniest thing. And he was getting up there, and we're getting him sound check, getting ready, and I was like, James, you mind if I introduce you? He said, yeah. He said, dude, don't say anything too gay.
Like, what would you want to expect you to say?
I don't know. It's like he's probably seen some things of mine in the past to where I've had too much to drink and said too much.
Or you just basically ogled and Googled over him, you know, and said a little too much about how cool he is.
Yeah.
Like we do with Taylor Hollingsworth constantly.
Yeah.
So
it's out of love, boys.
Yes.
But I took that and I was like, that's pretty good advice. I'm going to keep that in my back pocket for the rest. But Jamie was there Friday night, and it was right when he showed up. I said, Jamie, I got somebody here I'd like for you to meet. She's like, oh, who's that? And I was like, Early James. She's like, no way. And I was like, hey, right over there.
Yeah.
And she's like, okay, I'll come over there in a minute.
Did she not come see him the night I had him at the Arts Council?
She was there. That was a night.
I guess she didn't meet him, I guess.
I don't remember. Yeah. I don't remember a whole lot about that night. Pretty fuzzy.
It was a great.
Great show. I remember the show. I don't remember anything after that.
It was so good. And that was when COVID was happening, so we could only have like 30 people in the entire gallery.
I wouldn't have had it any other way.
Yeah. But it was so amazing.
Had Ford Boswell in that last show.
Yes, man. Oh, my gosh. Ooh. Yeah, they were so great.
What a time.
And then, of course, back at the house, we had a heck of a party.
Yeah.
Everybody.
I never smoked so many cigarettes in an apartment.
Yes, exactly. God, it was like probably 2 weeks it took me to get all that cigarette. But I was smoking at that time too, so it didn't bother me as bad. But, you know, I haven't smoked in 2.5 years, so.
Shout out to that.
It'd probably get to me.
Yeah, dude. And I had Mike Rainey and Durag and a Deer Tag. That's Rob Cruz, Drew Montana, and Naeem Ali.
Yeah.
And four of just my absolute favorite. I hang out with them and their podcast throughout the week. And, man, my job is I ride around in a work truck a lot of the time, and I get tired of listening to music, and so by happenstance, people put me on these podcasts. I thought they were incredible, and Drew and Mike, well, all of them now have come on my show. And, I had Mike on the first time like a year ago.
Yeah.
And I told him after we had got done recording, and I was, man, I'm – you're the absolute best, man. Huge fan of your comedy. I do this festival, and I always have comedy, but it's not like to the caliber of like what I would classify as a comedian. These are friends of mine who want to try their knack at stand-up, so to speak.
You don't have Dave Chappelle and
right,
yeah, AJ Wilkerson now or whatever,
right?
Yeah,
and I was like, I want to push it to that level, and I'm really interested if y'all would come down to Mississippi, and all of them, never been, love to, and we want them over, and so I think we're gonna have 20 Philadelphia, Pennsylvania comedians this coming Porch Fest, and I'm renting the trotter for that.
There you go. So you ought to do like a, in between every act while you're resetting the stage, have a comedian come out.
I would, but like, Porch Fest is going to move to 3 days, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Yeah. And so Thursday and Friday is going to be very light music, predominantly comedy. And then Saturday, I'm just going to blow. I booked Red and Revelers.
Yeah,
Grits and Greens. A Partridge is going to come back.
Good.
Taylor, of course. Fire Camino, of course. Stiff Tones, and I got a couple of surprises, and you never know who might show up.
All right, you know if you got anybody from Lucero showing up, you got to let somebody know.
I will.
In this room.
I will.
Right now.
But, yeah, and these comedians that are coming down, people are going to be. Surprised about how great they are, and I want the comedians to be surprised about how great I think this community is. And that was a big part of they want to come back.
Yeah,
they want to come back just to visit. I mean, they was like, dude, like when we looked up Columbus, we saw, because Naeem, he was a little nervous. He was thinking like racist Mississippi, right?
Sure.
And he was like, I just don't want to get hung. I was like, that's not a thing, but
yeah.
Dude, we got you.
I mean, it is a thing, but it's not a thing that we see a lot at all.
Right.
Ever. And, we've never seen in our lifetime, literally.
So I went and picked them up in Memphis Thursday morning at the airport.
Yeah.
Drove down, and we stopped at Huddle House, and that was when the news broke that OJ had passed away.
Yes.
And so we were at the Huddle House. They had never been to one. And
really? Mike, is it only a Southern thing?
I don't know how there's far not it stretches out. It's not like Waffle House,
yeah,
for sure.
Got you.
And Mike ordered a orange juice, and he asked the waitress if it was all right with her if he poured one out for OJ. I thought that was great.
My goodness.
And
leave it to comedians to come up with that one.
Yeah. And man, like I think all their concerns and their fears, we got them a nice Airbnb over at Waverly Lake in West Point.
Cool.
So. They had a nice place, private, gated. They had a lake, anything. Like, I wanted them to have a great Mississippi experience.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And we completely won them over there. A-Day was Saturday. They went to Bryant Denny for A-Day.
Did they?
They went
right
over
on.
They went over to the dude at MSU, and, like, the gate was open, so they walked the field.
Yeah.
And man, it was pitch perfect. They went to the Possum Town Throwdown. They loved that.
Cool.
So they had a great time. They're going to come back, and... I'm going to go up there to go hang out on their turf.
Yeah.
But enough about all that, man. I feel like I've been doing all the talking here for a minute.
Well, we got a lot of stuff coming up. We got Taylor Hollingsworth coming back. J.M. Stevens is playing in West Point at the Blues Museum this Friday night.
Is that right?
Yes. That's going to be a good show. I'll be over there for that one. Yeah, come out and see us.
Our people, our buddies, they put that on?
My buddy, Jeremy.
Yeah. Yeah. Shout out to Jeremy, dude.
Yeah.
I run into him a lot.
Do you then?
I mean, topic of discussion is always you, but that's the thing that we have in common.
Yeah, I mean, we've known each other since about 12 years old. Well, he was probably 12. I was probably, I think I'm 14, 15, so I'm a little bit older than he is.
Yeah.
But, yeah, good dude.
I like how everything's kind of coming together for them, and they're doing a great thing.
Yeah, and he's the person that knows a lot of stuff about the blues, and is a person that I can always talk music with because we did spend so much time together growing up, you know. Even though I lived here in Columbus, he lived in West Point. I would not get out of school. I'd drive to West Point, hang out with my friends there, or drive into town, and I wouldn't hang out with anybody I knew, honestly.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So we got a lot to know a lot of stuff. And they're doing good things over there at it's a Black Prairie Blues Museum,
mm-hmm.
for anybody that's concerned. Formerly... the Howlin' Wolf Blues Museum, because Howlin' Wolf was born in West Point, but it was a little community called White Castle at the time. But the family of Howlin' Wolf decided they didn't really want to be connected with it all, so they had to drop that. So that whole area is called the Black Prairie. So that's where the Black Prairie Blues came from. But they're doing good things. I'm trying to get Hollingsworth a gig over there. Maybe while he's in town, he and I could ride over there and talk to Jeremy, or let Jeremy come to the show.
I mean, his resume is great for it. I mean, he's been playing Clarksdale for several times over now.
Like, yeah. I told him the other day when he and I were chatting, I went to Clarksdale. My wife and I went to Clarksdale to see him, and the next morning after the show, he came over and had breakfast with us, and we were sitting on the porch. He and I were having a beer, and I said, "Man, you've got folk rock and roll or whatever." I said, "You had folk rock and roll and blues." I said, "Because your stuff is so bluesy. Everything you do is so bluesy. That's why they want you in Clarksdale."
Dude, you know? Have you been listening to some of the new stuff? Has he sent you some of
He sent me the stuff. Yeah, I haven't listened to it since he first sent it to me. He played a lot of it
at Porch Fest.
Yeah.
You know, him solo, and he's got a stunk box. And
yeah.
Man, like, that Saturday when he went on, like, he went on at 4, and the people before him did great. And I got up there to introduce Taylor. He was all set. And I was like, y'all better strap in. You about to move. You about to be bobbing that head.
He does it so seamlessly.
Yeah.
Holy shit, he recorded that.
Dude, yeah, the garden is full, brother.
And yeah.
Like, I'm just looking out, and they ain't too many heads that, you know, just ain't
bobbing it. Yeah. Like,
yep, this is it.
That's what Taylor does, man. I like what he's got going now. I remember seeing, we were talking about it the other day. I remember probably 10, 12, 15 years ago, walking into Egan's and seeing him sitting there playing, and his head was bobbing back and forth like he does. And I told him the other day, I said, man, that's one of the most infectious things. When you hear the style of music you're doing and see your head bobbing back and you just enjoying the music like you do, there's nothing else, man.
You know who else does a good job of that?
Who's that? It's
Patton.
Yeah. Yeah.
Smiling.
Gosh, man.
He's always in the pocket, and he's having the time of his life. Ain't he?
There is not a better person to watch play. Two better people, and they're best friends, too, so that's kind of fun.
Yeah.
Taylor Hollingsworth and Matt Patton, he's still of the Dexateens and of the Drive-By Truckers, but Matt produced the new record from Taylor, too.
That's right.
And played on it as well. So looking forward to hearing that. And that's cool, too, because Matt has been out on the road with Laura Jane Grace lately.
That's right.
And that shit is sounding amazing. They were on KEXP. They did some other radio things. You can see it online. It's Laura Jane Grace, the Mississippi Medicals. Even though Patton's from Alabama.
He lives in Water Valley, Mississippi. That's Dialback Sound of... Cornelius Chapel, go ahead and plug those two. Like, if you're on Instagram or the social media, give those guys a follow and keep up with who they're working with and what music is coming out of there, because Cornelius Chapel, if you've never heard of them, their slogan is, "We never heard of you either." And so, man, like, give those guys a follow and, man, show them some love. Like, they're doing great things.
Yeah, doing amazing things and putting out great records. There are record labels. I've always been very supportive of certain labels throughout my life. Bloodshot Records being one of them, Epitaph Records being another. And I definitely put Cornelius Chapel and Dialback into that.
Those are my one and two, man. And the way that the music industry has gone, I mean, you got your Sony and, you know, you got the big dogs that has just been eating everybody else up, and they're just, you know, a smorgasbord of, like, different record labels all over the country that have just been bought up and by Sony or whomever, Warner Brothers, whomever else. But, like, when it comes to indie, like, and I know there's other great things going on in Alabama and Mississippi that I'm probably not aware of or I'm blanking on, but much respect for those guys. Like,
yeah.
They don't miss.
Yeah.
Like the new Kyle Kimbrell, did you check that out from
Cornelius? I have not, no.
Yes, do that, dude. Yeah. I mean, and it's got like people that we, you know, love. Well, you know, it's got Adrian Mormaleo. He plays with Bernie James. And
but it's like you. That's like when we say, when we talk about record companies like that, as when we talk about people like that we love so much, like Hollingsworth. I mean, it's just it's a trust thing we have. We trust that what they're going to put out is going to be good.
Yeah, this is like what you said about Kenny Chesney earlier. Like, I mean, you could, like, if Taylor Hollingsworth, I mean, same respect to that is like, dude, if he decided that he was going to play drums on a tin trash can and like take a piece of wood and then put two nails in it and then throw it a off string, and I was like, yeah, I totally buy that.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm with that.
Exactly. Yeah, that's it. I think that's kind of proper branding with your label, because you think about labels in the past like Blue Note Records. People who like Blue Note Records, who have bought Miles Davis or Coltrane or whoever's on this, they fucking love everything that Blue Note puts out, you know? They love everything that Blue Chair Bay puts out. Isn't that the name of Chesney's record label or whatever,
right.
You know?
Yeah, that sounds right.
I mean, they have, like, I remember back in the day when Interscope was a thing, if it came out on Nothing Records, a division of Interscope, which was owned by Trent Reznor, I was going to buy it. You know, Wax Trax Records. I was in the big industrial scene there for a while.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's just, you find this, like, this comfort, you know, with people like Taylor Hollingsworth that you get to know over the years. If you're lucky to get to know a person like that, a talented musician, Early James or whoever it is, you know, Drive-By Truckers, to find this one band that you latch onto, Cracker, Driving and Crying, Band of Horses for you, Lucero for me, The Doors for me. You know, you find these bands, you just hang on to them because it's like comfort. It's like when I used to get sick when I was younger, I always wanted to watch All in the Family.
Yeah.
Like if I'm sick and on the couch under the blankets, just put on All in the Family and I'm fine.
Yeah.
You know?
Give me the Sprite and the chicken noodle soup.
Exactly.
Dude, I'm that way with like...
You find these comfort things.
As far as the TV show, dude, like...
The Golden Girls, sorry.
And I've been this way like since my dad passed back in January.
Yes.
And the show that we would always watch together was Seinfeld. And so like, man, my roommate, he fucking hates Seinfeld with passion.
Man, yeah.
And so like it might be 2 o'clock in the morning and I'm just like laid chilling on the couch, Seinfeld, and I'll see him like come take a picture of the TV and I know he's like Snapchatting everybody's like, Al's watching Seinfeld at 2 a.m. again. I was like, man, I was thinking about my dad, dude. And I was like, it's just comfort to me, dude.
Yeah, it's weird, and those things change throughout the years because I noticed that mine's changed. Because last time I was sick with COVID, a year ago or so or whatever, Letterkenny was my thing.
Oh, hell yeah.
Because that's one of my favorite shows.
Did you get into the other one, Shoresy?
Yes, I got into Shoresy, which the new season's coming out in a couple weeks. Mm-hmm. So I've got a couple like now that are comfort things for me. Not so much Shoresy.
Ted Lasso.
Oh my God. I put off Ted Lasso until 3 weeks ago. And then my wife and I binge watched all three seasons. One of my favorite shows ever. And also, Schitt's Creek. I watched the first two episodes of Schitt's Creek on two separate occasions and hated it. My wife talked me into watching it and said, just start at episode 3 and let's just watch it. And by the fourth episode, I was like, all right, I'm hooked.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, I just love things like that.
Sometimes, man.
I think, too, is the older we get, we've talked about this before, the older we get, we find, like, we find our classic rock. You know, like, you settle in to what you grew up listening to. You know, whether you, I think your generation probably came in listening to maybe American Football, Taking Back Sunday, stuff like that, you know?
Incubus.
Yeah, Incubus.
Linkin Park.
Yeah. Whereas, like me, to think back, you know, I came and listened to a lot of earlier punk rock and stuff like that, you know? So you find your classic rock as you get older. And I think it's like that with a lot of stuff in life. And especially as we get older, we're faced more, and I'm just rambling on, but we're faced more with our mortality. And so we find these things that kind of just give us this peace. And the separation from everything that kind of messes with us every day.
Yeah, man. And,
so, it's what I'm all about these days.
Yeah, it's, I mean, you've been wrestling, you know, with it.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah.
You had to fight. You had to step in the ring, dude, for a while. So, yeah. And it's well said, well spoken.
Yeah, I don't even know if I hit the original point.
Yeah, you're not wrong, and I'm not mad about it. And I think you nailed the point.
Yeah.
We've got these conference shows. We have comfort music. We have our classic rock and, like, sometimes you don't want that something new, but I mean, every now and then you let it in, like the Ted Lasso, you'd be like, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Still got it.
And then you end up loving it, you know? So it's like, you know, why not let in that new artist that you've never heard of before, you know?
Yeah.
Why not let in the Hozier that you know, because he was so big at one point, you don't want to listen to him. Because I was always that way. Like, there was a period of time, one of my favorite bands of all time.
I've got all his, I don't have any records of his, but I have all of, as wild as you bring him up, like Hozier.
Yeah.
I've got all of his stuff on CD.
Yeah.
Like, I like it enough to have it on vinyl. It's just like, I don't know where I could get it around here. Like, I know I could get online.
The Scooters, you can probably find it over there. He'll find it for you. Okay. But, you know, it's just like, for the longest time, one of my favorite all-time bands is the Chili Peppers.
Yeah.
And for a while there, when they got big with Give It Away, I quit listening to them.
It was too much for you.
It's like, I didn't want to be, I know, you're liking what I liked that was underground, and now it's freaking popular, and you're into it like you've been there all along, and you haven't. I was there during Freaky Styley. I was there during their first record, you know? But then now that I'm older, I'm like, man, these guys are freaking great. Every ounce of them is good, except for Higher Ground. I still don't like that song.
You know, Cobb.
Yep.
He doesn't have any tattoos, but like he was like, if I ever was to get a tattoo, it would be of the Red Hot Chili Peppers logo.
Oh God, I thought you pointed at me like he was going to get a picture of me somewhere, but I was really glad when you said Chili Peppers logo.
Yeah, and so, and man, like Cobb is responsible for like making me a fan of the Doors. I used to hate the Doors.
I love the Doors.
And then I love them now.
Yeah.
It used to come on 99.9 The Fox, and I would just turn to a different channel.
Yeah, I like everything but Roadhouse Blues, and that's the song you typically hear on the radio.
Yeah.
That's my least favorite Door song.
But like the whole Mojo Rising, and then like, man, I just, both sides of Morrison is like, I like it.
Yeah.
But but like Cobb put me on the Chili Peppers because it was kind of that same thing. Like, I mean, even And there's more bands and examples of that. And I was like, well, that's awful hipster of you to say that. But it does feel that way. It's like you kind of get upset. Like, dude, I've been with these guys for 4 or 5 years. And then, like, they finally hit it. They're on MTV at that time. And then everybody and their mother is talking and wearing the T-shirts. I still see Nirvana T-shirts. And I know these kids weren't even...
Oh, yeah.
They weren't even alive when Nirvana was a thing. Yeah. I'm not upset about it. And, like, one, are you wearing it because it looks good, or are you wearing it because it smells like Teen Spirit? Because I don't know.
It's a fad.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think a lot of, I mean, I don't know, maybe Target or whatever. I mean, you can buy those shirts Hot Topic or wherever.
Man,
you know?
I wonder how Dave Grohl and those cats are like, golly, dude.
Yeah. The checks. I'm sure he didn't have anything to do with it now, but who knows?
I bet those royalty checks still come in the mail.
Hell yeah.
Shout out to Cobb. I mean, because, like, he's the guy that really made me a fan. And, like, when it came to the Chili Peppers, he was big on John Frusciante has to play the guitar or I'm not into it.
Like, I'm into it, but he's the best.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, he's the best.
Because I had that, was it?
Right? I didn't like the Dave Navarro record.
Yeah.
That record was my least favorite because that was weird. It was like you're taking a band, two bands that I love, the Chili Peppers and Jane's Addiction, and you're trying to combine them, and it's that's not working for me.
Yeah.
I did like My Friends or whatever, that song. That's a great song. Or Airplane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Both of those were okay.
That was it. As far as the rest
of it. But was it Rain Dance Maggie? Like that
I
was.
No, I do not own the record.
This is a song off of like maybe two records ago now. Maybe one ago.
Yeah,
and Frusciante wasn't in it, and you could tell. Like,
yeah.
You still got Flea. You still got the core.
Yeah.
But you still got Will Ferrell's twin brother playing the drums.
Yeah, Chad.
Chad and golly, Anthony. But you didn't have Frusciante.
Yeah.
And you could tell.
Yeah, it's definitely something you could tell. I went to see him the first time I saw the Chili Peppers was
Jazz Fest, probably.
Nope. During Mother's Milk. Tour with Frusciante, the first album he was on, they played at the UAB in Birmingham with Fetchin' Bones opening up. And as the only two bands I've ever been in their fan club was Fetchin' Bones and Red Hot Chili Peppers. And then the next time I saw them, they had this cat named Rick Marshall playing guitar. That was when they were at Lollapalooza. And they had the metal hats with the flames coming off the top of it, you know? I was like, that was really not one of my favorite Chili Pepper performances at the time.
Yeah. I Band of Horses, I probably seen them more than, I can't say that. Probably seen Early James or Taylor Hollingsworth a lot more than them, but if you're talking like levels to it, I guess, but I've seen them a lot.
Yeah.
And I had tickets to go see them at Avondale like 2 or 3 years ago when they were touring Tragedy of the Commons, I think. And my buddy went to that show. And he's like, I know that you're like Band of Horses number one fan, and I am so happy that you weren't at that show because Ben got so shit-faced that it was the worst Band of Horses show I'd ever seen. And I was like, I probably would have loved it.
Is Ben the lead singer?
Yeah.
That's funny. Your favorite band and my favorite band both have Ben lead singers.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, a Lucero show when my Ben gets drunk is pretty fucking good.
Well, going to get back into those like...
I've never seen a shitty drunk Ben Lucero show.
Yeah, and I was like, dude, like I don't know like what anticipation that you're going for a Band of Horses show, but I've seen them so many times. Like, yeah. I know they have new records and like they tour them, but like if we're just going to see like a show of theirs, I was like,
yeah,
dude, I could write down a set list and I'll probably be 90% right. I mean, that's how big of a nerd I am on these guys.
Yeah.
I was like, I probably wouldn't have been disappointed at all.
Yeah.
I would have been totally fine with it.
Yeah. Yeah. I was seeing Lucero in Starkville a couple months ago or whatever.
Yeah, at Rick's.
And Ben Hodge from Huge Ghost came up to me. I hadn't seen the dude for
20 shout out something. Ben, if you're out there, baby.
Yeah, 20 something years. And he was like, I was like, how many shows is this for you? He's like, yeah, it's like three or four. He goes, I'm not even going to ask how many it is for you. I said, yeah, 19 or 20. Like, I've never, because there was a point in my life when I was a big fan of live. And I'd seen live 7 times. And then all of a sudden, I didn't see him again, you know. And then Lucero became a thing.
Well, they really lost like relevancy. They lost steam.
I mean, it's none of the, none of the original members except for Ed, the lead singer.
Yeah,
he's the only person, but he still puts on a fantastic show.
Yeah,
I see it on his socials. Yeah, and stuff. So
if y'all remember live, the placenta fell on the floor.
The placenta walks through the door. What, I don't know.
Yeah. Oh man!
Lightning crashes.
Yeah, that was the first live song that I heard. I had a buddy of mine. It was back when my little group, back when I was like 16, 17, we were first picking up guitar and we were playing parties. We thought we was fucking everything. Turns out you're the most annoying motherfucker there. But everybody's like, you should learn how to play Lightning Crashes by Live. And I was like, okay, we will.
Yeah.
That's not a fucking cool song to play at a bonfire. You no. Got to play Hootie and the Blowfish.
Yeah, you got to play something more, a little more upbeat. I mean, they got All Over You or some other song, you know.
But, yeah, dude. Oh, Alabama football. Row tide on that. But yes.
New coach this year.
A new era.
We haven't talked since Saban announced the retirement. Chapter. I mean, I'm good with it. I've been a...
I had people call me. These are Auburn fans? Of course they were. And they were like, we were just calling to make sure that you're still with us.
Yeah.
That you didn't jump off a roof. And I was like, I'm actually okay with this. Like, if you've seen the work that he did at Washington, I mean, did pretty cool over there. Pretty good. And on top of that, I don't blame Saban a bit at all, because the whole NCAA college football experience, when you have the transfer portal, you have the NIL – and
the NIL is what did it. And for
what shook him so much, and like what made him say that this is it, and I've heard him say in the interview, is they had just lost, you know, contention for the national championship right there.
Yeah.
And players, when they got back to Tuscaloosa, were already bothering him about next season with NIL. Talking about NIL money, and also threatening the transfer portal.
Yeah.
And he was like, all right, Miss Terry, I are done.
Yeah.
We're going to both be fans.
It gave me, and I don't know about you, a hell of a lot of peace when I saw his interview, and he says, they've already given me an office in the stadium.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, all right, so we're going to be okay.
Yeah.
He's still going to be there.
But the thing about it,
he ain't moving to, Nebraska.
I remember, Altmaier, or not Altmaier, that's the doctor who works on MSU players. Sure. Shout out to you. I had my ACL surgery done in your office. Shout out
to
you.
There you go.
But
you're such an athlete.
Wait, they wouldn't give me the athletic ACL thing, dude. They gave me the regular dude ACL treatment. I was like, give me the same treatment as what you give the guys over there, dude. Oh. They wouldn't do it for me. I ain't holding it against you. But, maybe a little bit. But I remember, after Mike Leach had, tragically died.
Yes.
And was it Altwell? I mean, he had one stint, one season at MSU, and it's going to be very forgettable because I can't even remember his name.
We had a couple of games.
No, he had.
And they let him go?
We had the season. It just wasn't working for him.
Yeah, but, and they let him go before it was over.
But I knew the first home game at Davis Wade, we're in Starkville, and they're doing a tribute to Mike Leach, and I saw it on TV, all the pirate flags, and I bet he saw the writing on the wall, too. I was like, it's tough to follow somebody of that caliber because you're always going to be in their shadow, and I don't think you'll ever get a chance for it to be your time.
Yeah,
you're always going to be, well, this is the way Leach done it, and, dude, they had a bad season. I think they were 4-8 or 5-7.
And I mean, you've got to let any coach have at least 2 seasons to screw it up to get there. And I mean, what I thought sucked for him, not that I cared for his coaching or whatever, but the fact that he left a position, went into head coach, and then when they didn't want him as head coach, he didn't have anywhere else to go, so they had to fire him.
Yeah,
that's what kind of sucks. Zach's somebody, right?
That is correct. Yeah. But yeah, to DeBoer at Alabama, what makes me nervous about like the office and all that, I was like, you're retired, and you say you're done, but are you going to let it be DeBoer's team, or is it always going to be Saban looming in the shadow? You see what I mean?
Yeah, sure. Well, I mean, Saban always lived in the shadow, until a certain point, always lived in the shadow of Bear.
Yeah.
I mean, look at all
the coaches that came before Saban.
In the shadow. But Saban jumped over. He did a froggy jump over Bear Bryant, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, we'll never see that again, ever, in our time.
You know one thing that I am excited about?
What's that?
I saw it at – I wasn't at A-Day, but, you know, I told you that the Philly Comics, they went to A-Day. And I saw the pictures, and I saw the clips on TV with Nick Saban, A-Day, completely packed, standing room only, DeBoer. We're at about 58,000 people. And so something tells me that Alabama is finally going to be rid of the bandwagon fans, and hopefully they all get Georgia gear.
Yeah.
You know, and so we finally get back to the core, and like maybe we won't be the most hated football team in the country anymore. You know?
Yeah, and I mean, I've always said it's okay to be humbled when you're an Alabama fan. It's okay to be humbled.
I mean, it's always a tragedy like we lost.
Sure.
You know, it's like, well, they were clearly a better team. Yeah, but it's us, and but like, we don't lose. We don't even know how to.
I was always one of those kind of people who's just like, man, that freaking sucks. And I might think about it for about 5 minutes.
Yeah.
But then I'm moving on. Well, what's coming on next? You know?
Right.
That was just me. You know? But I didn't grow up an Alabama fan. I've only been an Alabama fan since 2000.
Yeah, you're a Maryland guy.
Two or three.
Yeah.
No, like, well, I grew up here in Columbus.
Oh, I see.
But I was born in Maryland and lived there and up in that area for about 4 years before I moved here. So.
Shout out to the DC team.
But I still always, of course, I'm a Commanders fan. I mean, I bleed burgundy and gold. And then I've always followed Maryland, just hoping they would do something. And with Tua's brother up there, they still have not done a whole lot.
It was a little lackluster.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, I wanted to touch on that, but it won't be long now. The old Green Day song, Wake Me Up When September Ends. I think every college football fan will say, Wake Me Up When September Begins.
Yes. August 31st, I think, is the first Alabama game.
Yeah, and that's and it's
against
time.
Western Kentucky or somebody.
We got Georgia regular season scheduled.
Yeah.
So that's
crazy. I don't think in the time that I've been a Georgia, Alabama fan, I don't think we've ever played Georgia.
We typically don't, dude, because we rotate out. We always play Tennessee.
Yeah.
But we rotate Kentucky, Florida. We rotated
out Mississippi State this year. We're not playing Mississippi State this year.
Well, that don't really break my heart. It's kind of a waste of time anyway.
Plus, we played in Starkville last year, so we would have played in Tuscaloosa this year.
And they probably should have scheduled that for homecoming.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, State fans. I'm sorry.
And I like State unless they're playing Alabama, then I'm
hardcore
Alabama.
Yeah, same, dude. Like, I if I want to go see a good baseball game, I'll go to the dude.
Yeah.
I mean, they...
I've never said that in my life.
What?
If I want to go see a good baseball game. I just never have liked baseball.
Oh, man, I love baseball. Baseball Live is fun.
Growing up, I was an Orioles fan by default because of my father. But, nah, give to...
That was Cal Ripken Jr. too, dude.
Yes, I went to a Cal Ripken game.
Hell yeah, dude.
After he broke the record and they had his numbers still on the wall on the side or whatever, 31-91 or whatever it was. I went to see him. We got our ass kicked by Toronto Blue Jays.
Yeah. Man, it's, I'm a Dodgers guy, oddly enough. Braves, because of proximity, would be like my number two and then number three. And this is all National League. I don't have a team in the American League, but I like the Dodgers, I like the Braves, and I like the Phillies.
Gotcha. Yeah, I mean, I guess
if I had to go American, it would probably be Orioles.
Yeah, I hope the Orioles and the Nationals are doing well, but that's it.
Yeah.
I don't really. Yeah. Like, I always feel like you have to have a team and everything. And since my wife and I have never followed soccer at all, except for one brief year of my life when my father bought me a DC United shirt. I followed DC United whenever they would be on TV, which was probably I saw one game, you know, one match or whatever.
Yeah.
But now that I watched Ted Lasso, I feel like we need to get into this thing. So we're both kind of – she wants to follow Barcelona.
Oh, dude.
And then
that's
thinking,
like following the Crimson Tide.
Yeah. Like, I'm thinking, like, I remember – it's so weird, man, but years ago
– we should be West Ham fans.
Well, no, I don't know, man. It's Wrexham that Ryan Reynolds is a part of now. They look like they're promising. But I think I'm going to follow Liverpool.
Oh.
Liverpool or Tottenham. Those
well,
are the
I'm
going
to say West Ham. Have you ever seen the movie Green Street Hooligans?
I have not.
Okay, check that out.
I love like, anything hooligans. Yes.
In the UK, hooligans is a big deal. It's soccer fans.
And sure.
It's all about the hooligans and like the street brawls.
Yes.
Again. It's got Elijah Wood and a couple other great actors. But Elijah's he's the lead. And so he's.
So let's just pick a guy that's not from England at all.
Well, that's the point. He was a college student that had like his roommate.
Oh, he was American.
His roommate in college like had a coke addiction, and the RA at the college found out about it, raided the room, and his roommate set it up to where it was in Elijah's shit. And he's
gotcha.
Like, "Sorry, bub, my dad's a senator."
Well, text me that because I may have to watch that,
dude.
Sure.
Please, but he goes to start his life over. He goes to England, and like his sister is married to one of the oldest, biggest, baddest hooligans of West Ham.
Yeah.
And he gets thrown into that. He had never been in a fight in his life. And he's like going to the bar pregame and getting hammered, going to the game, and then going after the game and just picking fights. There's your fucking favors. There's your fucking... Like, it's fucking nuts, dude. And like, that culture's incredible.
Oh, yes. It reminds me, and that's the thing that I liked, I think, so much about it. It reminds me of Alabama fans.
Oh, hell yeah.
You know?
Especially that we're playing a Tennessee.
They're so dedicated. It's like, why follow American football? I mean, I love the Washington Commanders, but there's no passion fan-wise. There is passion.
Oh, there's. I've seen passion.
But there is not passion, I don't think, from what I've noticed. I may be mistaken. You can correct me if you want to leave it on this post or whatever. But there's no passion in the NFL like there is for the SEC or for college ball.
I think it's because we're in the South and we're not around and we don't see it.
Yes. I mean,
like, if I hop on X because like my favorite team in the NFL, shout out to you, Jalen Hurts, is the Eagles.
Yes.
And, man, like, I see so many fights break out in the stands between – sometimes it's
– really?
It's Eagle fan, but like a lot of times it's like, you know, the two teams and like – especially if it's like a Cowboy-Eagle thing, their rivals are
– or anybody in NFC East like us, you know.
Yeah, but like they are always like getting fucked up and fighting in the fucking stands, dude. And I was like, that is the least place I'd want to fight. You're on steps and there ain't but one way to go, and that's damn, dude.
Yeah, I don't fight anybody. So, but anyway, I just feel like let me rephrase it then.
Yeah.
That I see the football passion in England and Europe like the football passion in the South.
Amen.
How about
on that.
Is that a good way to say it?
Yeah, that's it, dude. Because I mean, think about.
And so I'm like, I think I could really get into this football thing. Because
I mean, like LSU and Alabama. What made us rivals?
Saban.
And, like, that was more heated, like, as an Alabama fan.
More heated than Auburn, for sure.
Yeah, there was nothing I wanted more than to whoop their ass on the first weekend in November.
Yes, and plus, LSU was always so much better than Auburn.
They were our best game every season.
Yes, because when Saban was there, Auburn was not.
Yeah.
Except for Cam Newton's year. That was it.
I don't remind
and me. And the one year that the dude.
Kick six. Thank God we got
six.
Our play
God,
now.
Moses. Kick six. That was the best play.
We got our play now, though, and they can show that highlight.
What's that?
With the dime dropper from this past year. We shouldn't have won the Iron Bowl. And then he drops it. Boom. Got the catch. fuck y'all.
Yes, I forgot, man. I'm ready for the hot of Mississippi summers to get out of the way, because it'll be from April till November, or at least September. So I'm ready for some like cooler temperatures and football and smelling hot dogs on a grill and all that stuff, man. So ready for it again. So now I think that when are the months of soccer? What are their months of playing?
Dude, I don't know.
I've got to get into it.
It almost feels year round to me, and I know it's not. But like it seems like there's always soccer, and like most of us like it, soccer culture, and we call it some football, whatever. It's finally grown on us. But I remember being a kid. Plus, I was from Kennedy, Alabama, and I went to South Lamar. And if you even said the word soccer, we were going to make fun of you. But I mean, like, American culture has really began to accept it. I mean, we have a fairly prominent soccer league here in the States now that is beginning to thrive. And I mean, every kid, like, it's not even offered, but my nephew, like, if soccer was available, that would probably be his favorite sport. He would love to play that.
Yeah.
And so I don't know what's up with that, but I'm here for it. I don't know a whole lot about soccer because like there was this huge stigma. I had an English teacher. We got in a big fight about it. Her daughter played soccer, and I was like, "Your daughter sucks." She's like, "What?" She's like, "I was like, she plays soccer. That's the lamest shit I ever heard. Kicking a ball around." She's like, "You like baseball, dumbass."
Yeah,
man, you're right.
Neither
here nor there. But let's get plugged into it, because I felt like we would only care about soccer during like the World Cup. You know, we would get fired up.
I want to find my team though, and like get behind it. That's the whole reason that for like 7 years of my life I was a NASCAR fan.
I think Birmingham has his team, brother.
It's because I found my team.
Yeah,
and I rolled with them the whole damn time. You know?
Yeah.
So I want to kind of find, I don't know, maybe I'll pick a couple and just see which one I feel most comfortable watching, you know?
Yeah. And I'm sure it'll be like most sports, man. It's like, I like hockey. I like, in hockey, it's like baseball to me. I like going to Hockey Live because you can follow the puck, or there's going to be two guys over here in the corner just beating the absolute shit out of each other.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I don't know
when we watched the Alabama Frozen Tide. They played.
We used to promote them on 95.3 The Bear.
Yeah, they
play
in
Birmingham.
Birmingham, yeah. Yeah. Well, I can't remember what part. But anyway,
Leeds, isn't it?
I think that's right. I think that's right. And I went out there one time, and I was like, "This is incredible."
Yeah.
And my dumb ass went in there with a short sleeve shirt, and like my buddy was like, "Dude, what the fuck? They're playing on ice. What was you thinking?" I was like, "It's summertime."
Yeah.
He's like, "It's not summertime in here, dude." And so we're like, but it was fun. It was fun.
Yeah. I don't guess. I mean, the Bruins, I've always been kind of like, I wanted to follow just because of Bruins, Dropkick Murphys, you know?
Hell yeah, dude.
The black and gold. But I don't really know. But I think Letterkenny made me a little more like, okay, I get it. I understand hockey, how some people are just like they're born and that's what they do.
Yeah.
That's their thing. They play street hockey. They play ice hockey.
They were born with a missing tooth.
Exactly. And so many people in Shoresy are born with missing or have missing teeth.
Yeah.
Not born with them.
Yeah, dude. Shout out to it, man. I hate that Letterkenny is ending, but...
It's done, man.
We got Shoresy.
Yeah.
And great. You know, I mean,
10 seasons, that's good.
It is great. I was a huge fan of Trailer Park Boys. Like, I don't know what Ryan Reynolds, Jim Carrey, like, a lot of music, too. Like, we could probably do a whole episode just talking about Canada. Like, I think, like, as Americans, like, Canada is America light. But Canada has, like, a lot of great
Schitt's
art.
Schitt's Creek, that's the one thing I would harp on. Schitt's Creek and Letterkenny.
Yeah,
that's two best things, yeah. That's the two great damn things that came out of Canada. Yeah. Alanis Morissette, Neil Young.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I've... Everybody's posted he played apparently like on the coast or somewhere in New Orleans or something.
Oh.
And people in my feed are posting Neil Young photos. And like, I like it because it's them posting. I don't give shit about Neil Young.
I don't... Yeah, dude, like...
I just never...
You know, rocking in the free world.
I like,
yeah, that's okay.
I like Neil Young as a as an acoustic dude playing guitar. Like the Unknown Legend, whatever that record was called. A Harvest.
Harvest Moon.
Harvest Moon. And then I like the Harvest record. But past that, I don't want to hear Neil Young's old ass rocking out. It just sounds weird to me. I just don't dig it.
I feel
it.
The same way about The Boss, you know, with Springsteen.
Yeah, like, me too. I'm, yeah, so, not
I'm,
there.
Yeah, I'm not
I have right. not, you have yet to, I've got friends that are huge Boss fans. And like you think about the Nebraska record. They're even making a movie, I think, about
that
Nebraska.
That is the, you know what that fucking record's about?
What?
Starkweather. You remember that?
Yes.
Fucking psychopath?
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
That's
yeah,
what
yeah.
Nebraska is.
Oh, wow. Huh.
Yeah. Did you know that?
Well, now like, that I know
fact
that.
Fact check that, dude.
Yeah, now like, that I know that, that I may check it out.
That album was
about
inspired.
Him and his girlfriend going out and killing
yeah,
him.
It, like he was like
rampage.
In his 20s. His girlfriend was like 14, dude.
Yeah, yeah.
He was a fucking weirdo.
Yeah. Huh, yeah, I've never, I tried to listen to all of Nebraska one day, and maybe I'll try again, but that
yeah,
was,
but
it was
like
many
said,
years
that
ago.
That is the record. If
yeah.
You, yeah.
I mean, like I remember working in radio, like Born to Run. It's a good record,
yeah,
but it's nothing that I want to own and listen to again. I'll hear it. If it's on the radio, I'm not going to cut it off, unless it's Born in the USA. Screw that. That's, I'm tired of hearing that, you know. Come on.
Yeah.
All right, yeah. So anyways, I'll have people burning cowboy hats on my front lawn, but
born in the USA.
Yeah.
It's kind of anti-American if you like look at the lyrics. But
it's very anti-American.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or it was an anti-war anthem, I think is what it was. Yeah. I don't know. Who knows?
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
Dude, anything else to do?
No.
Well, the answer to your question is, do we still got it?
I think we do.
I think we do.
Yeah, I think we do. I just worried. I was having a moment, you know? I mean, since my stroke, I'm a little more emotional than I've ever been.
Oh, brother.
And so I think at one point I was like sitting on the couch just by myself, probably had one too many beers, and I was like, we still want to do the same thing we used to do because it was really fun. I didn't
just
want
to try to bring in all these other people. Why can't it just be me and you? Like
oh, exactly.
To
yes. Oh, goatee to beard. Let's go. Let's debate.
All right, dude. Monk, thank you so much.
Roll Tide, brother.
Man, happy retirement
thank you.
To you, man.
Thank you, brother. Shoulder
it's a real track. And it's a real track. And it's a real track. Thank you, thank you.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.